Father, this world has made things way too complicated. And that's messed everything up. That is not your design. Help us today, Father, to see the simplicity of life and death. And as it breaks our heart to really understand what's at play, help us to see the simplicity of life and death. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you that might be reading or listening to this on the radio, we'll use three passages today. Nothing on the screen, because I don't have anything on the screen. Because I penciled this down right there after Bible class this morning. I'll explain that in a minute. Our passages will be Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Special focus in chapter 3, verse 15. We'll be in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. Something we read a little while ago. And then we'll finish in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 18. I got to work. Memories sort of mix up for me. But every day at work, one of my first tasks when I get there, about 15 to 6 normally by then is when it started, is to go to the Missouri State Highway Patrol and open up their web page where they have traffic accidents, they have arrests made, and all kinds of stuff. It's a job I do 6-7 days a week and have been for at least, well, probably 30 years, maybe even longer than that. 45 years more accurate, Vic says, but the ease of it now is what is so amazing. Used to be you had to call the Missouri State Highway Patrol or Arkansas State Highway Patrol or Kansas State Highway Patrol for this information. Now any and everybody can get it. Been doing it all my life. All my life working. And every now and then when you open that up, something inside of you just turns wide open. And it hits a nerve that is very hard for me to talk about and work my way through. Those of you that do not know, I lost my daughter to an automobile accident on the 17th of October in the year 2000. I wasn't at work that day. I was at the hospital watching her die. So at this particular moment, you need to understand that what I'm about to do is not the easiest thing that I ever do. But it should be done. Back to the task on Friday morning, I think it was. Was it Friday morning? It was. So as I'm pulling down the accident reports from the Missouri State Highway Patrol, all of a sudden there's this little boy, and they used his first name, and that kind of messed me up. But it's AJ, Ray, little bitty 10-year-old, almost 11. He's 10 years, 11 months, X number of days. Almost 11. AJ's a fifth grader at the Ava Middle School. AJ is a little boy that Marilyn took care of as he grew up. And Monica and Art. AJ is a little boy that Cameron and Allie played with. And Zoe back there knows. AJ's a little boy that after the football game, Marcella Swadesh, who is the principal of the Ava Middle School, turned to me and said it was the hardest day I have ever had as a teacher and as an administrator. All AJ was doing was riding his little ATV and having a good time. And he died. Innocent little boy. By the way, worships at Pine Ridge, was baptized recently. Great mama and daddy. Two sisters. And I can see by the way some of you are shuffling around, you know the boy. And you know the family. That's why we're here at this moment right now. When I read it Friday, it just ripped open a sore that, you know, for a minute or two you might get sort of kind of, how many ever had a scab, you know, and it's in one of those places, maybe on your hand or something like that. See that right there? I'll rip that off 10, 15 times before it gets healed. But you ever had one of those scabs where you just go to do anything, and next thing you know, you've knocked it off and it starts bleeding? Well, that's the way my life is when it comes to this subject. Because it just ripped wide open that scab over my heart. And it started to bleed again at about 10 to 6 Friday morning. A little boy dead. And I got to tell you that I kind of just pushed it aside Friday until Friday night when there she stood, a very respected, I would say, I've watched Marcella and Marcy kind of grow up too. And now Marcella has become the principal of Ava Middle School, a mama with kids. And I watched the look on her face when I just asked her how she was doing. And it ripped that scab right back off. And then this morning, I made the mistake of coming here and sitting back there in that classroom, even before I got there, two little girls standing right here when I was loading in Acts chapter 16 for us to talk about, who came to ask me to pray for the Ray family. And it ripped the scab way far off. And I started hemorrhaging. And then we got back in class. And of course, the first thing that was said came from a little bitty 5-year-old. How old is he? Ledger. How old's Ledger? 3? Okay. Comes from a 3-year-old. Remember the Ray family. Now, my grandma was probably helping a little bit, but remember the Ray family. First thing in our list of prayer. Remember the little Ray boy who died. Now I'm really bleeding. And then when class is over, a mama comes up with tears in her eyes because her children spent the last several days saying, "Why, Mama? Why did that boy die?" And now I'm bleeding. And I sat down here, and it's time for us to begin the service, and I knew I could not do Acts chapter 16. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And the first couple of chapters of the book of Genesis tell us the most beautiful and wonderful story you will ever read. I don't care what you pick up. Nothing is as magnificent as the story of what God did and what God made for you, Matt and Colton and John, little John in the back. What God made for you. Because God tells us in detail of the creation of a magnificent world. A world that was so beautiful and right and pure and clean. You know what it's like after a big old rain and you step outside on a spring day and you just take in that air that is so pure and clean and refreshing. That smell of rightness and goodness. And God created the heavens and the earth. And each day of that story, go read it. At the end of it, God exalts us by saying, "And it was good." And he takes us down to day 6 when he really brings it all together. And he makes man, and then he realizes it's not quite right. And so he makes woman so that the two of them will be one. And having done that, God Almighty, who made it all, this earth, this world that we live in, that we're a part of, said it was very good. Now, I want you to understand this lesson is as simple as can be, and you will struggle with it for the rest of your life because the world will tell you it ain't this way. Kids, listen up. God made the world and it was very good. Nobody died. Nobody. There was no cancer. No leukemia. No heart attacks. Marcia, you didn't get old. Not that Marcia's old. Rick's back there. I could have picked on him. Marcia's a visitor, so I want her to come back. So we'll include her in the lesson. No aches and pains from arthritis. No flu. No cold. None of that. It was good. It was very good. God made this for us, and it was heaven on earth. It was. You see how simple that is? You see how pure and clean and right that is? That's the way it was. But what happens when you get into Genesis chapter 3 and you begin to listen and pay attention? Somebody enters the story that God writes. That somebody's name first will be serpent, but at the end of the day, make no bones about it. Don't have any doubt in your mind, his name is Satan. You can call him the devil. I call him evil. I'm going to say this is a story about good, and this is a story about evil. And in case you're wondering, the reason there is evil is because God made a world where you have a choice, okay? And the only way that this would work is that you would have a choice, so there needed to be something there, and that something there was evil. You can choose evil. You can choose good, but you can choose evil. And I'm here to tell you that while that was there, those people were content with good. And you got to get this. They were content with good until in Genesis chapter 3, that thing called Satan comes up to Eve and then soon will infect Adam with a lie. With a lie. Adam and Eve didn't even know what a lie was because they'd never seen one. Had they? Never seen one. Never heard one. They were as pure as the driven snow. They were good because they were God's creation. But when God made them, he said, you can choose to take that fruit and eat it. Please don't. Please don't. Please don't. Because the minute you do, I have to leave you. You got to understand what death really is, my friends. In its purest, simplest, down in the dirt, straightforward sense, it simply means you are separated from God. It's what it means. Go look it up. Hebrew or Greek, that God no longer can reach out and walk with you in the cool of the evening in the garden, which he did. And so in Genesis chapter 3, you get the story of this evil one coming and telling the lie. And in the mistake that has changed all history, including AJ's, we chose to believe the lie. And death entered the world. And cancer came. And the common cold came. And arthritis came. And floods came. And lightning that kills came. And evil came. And animals that eat us came. And all of that came at that point in time where we made a choice. And that choice was, I will choose to believe in the lie instead of the goodness of what God has made. And at that point in time, the world was fractured. There was a separation between human beings and God himself. And it broke God's heart. Why do you think as parents, when our children die, it breaks our hearts? Because that part of us is God himself. And God does not want death. And when you feel this feeling, kids, olds, everybody in between, at least you finally have found the one genuine thing in your heart that is God-inspired and placed inside of you. And that is the understanding that we were never made to die. Why death hurts so much is because it ain't supposed to be there. Good alive, death from sin, separation from God. And when it hurts, it comes because God didn't expect you dead. He never prepared you for that. He didn't build you for that. He doesn't want you to have that. But there it is. Good versus evil. In verse 15 of chapter 3, God brings Satan in front of him, along with Adam and Eve. I don't care about Adam and Eve. And I mean that in a kind way. I care about the evil one who lied to us, who made us be where we are today, talking about something that God never intended for us to have talk about. He looked at him square in the eye. And in the 15th verse, he says, I am. This is hillbilly. You go read it. But he said, I am declaring thermonuclear war on you, evil one, for what you have done. And from the seed of this woman right here, and women in general down the line, I am going to bring into the world someone who will take you out, who will hit you in the head with a sledgehammer and bust your brain open. Hillbilly talking now. You go read it. You're going to bruise him on the heel so he's hobbled for a little while. I'm not here to get into the theology of any of that at all. We talked about it in class this morning. I'm not going there. God didn't like what happened there. God said, this is not what I intended. But this is where we are now. This is where we are now. But what he does at that moment when he looks at Satan and he says, I'm sending my son Jesus into the world. And when he comes into this world, he has come for one reason. And that is to destroy you and your power, which is death. You got me? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Won't read it all because we read most of it in the pregame set to this thing. He is talking about Jesus and he is talking about what Jesus has done. And what he is talking about now is the power that death has over us. There will come a day, my friends, when Jesus Christ will appear again, won't he? And when he appears again, the world that we know will be shifted back to the world that God made. And death as a power over us will disappear. And the reason for that is because when Jesus came and died on that cross, Satan had him. Listen to me. Whether it's Christina or AJ or whoever it is that you love and care about, put them on the cross, and when they die, they are dead. We see that, don't we? Go to the cemeteries where they are. I travel it almost every day, but not anymore. Only because I become callous sometimes in my heart. I'll probably drive by today. But every one of those people that you love and care about, if you could, you could find a place where they're buried. Because they're dead. But when Jesus came and they put him on that cross and they killed him, he got hurt in the heel, according to Genesis 3:15. But you see, Jesus didn't stay in the grave, did he? The one thing that Satan had over us was the fact that when you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. John, I'm sorry, but when you die, you're dead. Bessie's going to have to bury you. And it will break her heart. And Satan thought he had Jesus in the grave, in the tomb, in hell itself. But on the third day, as we all know, what happened? He arose. And the power that Satan had over us ended. It's gone. Oh, I know AJ died. I understand that. I understand that even Cody back there, young and strong and fit and able, is going to die too. I understand that Colton, who's able to whoop anybody, just look at how muscular and strong he is, one day will die. Matt, not you included. I'm sure you can take him out. We'll let the brothers sort that out in a little while. I'm here to tell you that we will die unless we're part of this in the 15th chapter and we just happen to be alive when all of a sudden the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise, and then we ourselves will join him here. And the reason why separation from God will end is because Jesus paid the price for our sin. And the only thing that has kept us between God and heaven and him is sin. And read what it says. This begins in verse 54. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that was written will be fulfilled. God's promise to us is, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Listen. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We die for a simple reason. We die because there is someone evil in the world who is still in this world. His name is Satan. His name is the devil. And until Jesus returns and throws him in hell and locks the door, are you listening to me? We will die. So long as we live on this earth, we will put up with cancer and heart attack and pain and grief. And at the very depths of our soul, when our children die in front of us and we watch them kick the machine off so they can breathe no more and wait 5 hours for that final breath to be taken, and the doctor to come out and say, she is dead. You can go home. That's Satan. That is the evil one. That is what's wrong with this world. This is a story of good and evil. There ain't anything in the middle. Do not let Satan convince you that this thing is somehow interwoven with all of these different things. What makes me want to scream and throw up is one saying to me, I'm sorry that God has taken your child home. He must have needed you more than you do. That ain't true. That is a lie. And I know preachers mean well when they say it, and people when they say it, they're doing their best to make you feel better. That's wrong. Your child dies because there is evil. Your child dies because there is someone in this world that just wants to torture you. And that ain't God. Somebody needs to say it. That isn't God. That sickness, that accident, that disease, that bad did not come from God. It came from Satan. And he delights in your pain and in your misery and in your hurt. He lives off of it. It makes him feel good. God, on the other hand's heart is broken. Someday you need to pick up the story of a boy by the name of Lazarus who dies. Jesus postpones his coming to the death scene. I think it's 3 days, 4 days, something like that. 4 days, John says. It is a while. And when Jesus arrives on the scene, Jesus knows full well he's going to bring that boy back from the dead. This isn't a matter of Jesus just felt sorry for him, so he made it right. Jesus waited 4 days so you couldn't miss what he'd done. But when he saw those two girls that he loved so very much, and when he saw the hurt and the pain that the Ray family is going through right now, that the Quorum family went through, that the Hicks family went through, that the Hale family went through, all of those of us who have struggled through every bit of this, and I can go through the room and look at Doyne and see the pain that comes from this. I know your pain, Lawrence. I have been there and I have seen that and I've been a part of that. And when Jesus saw that in those two women, he just broke down in tears. Because inside God is this, I want things to be good and this is bad. And it breaks my heart when I see my people broken apart by death. Death doesn't come from God. He never made this world that way. Don't let anybody ever tell you this. It came from that evil one and he is laughing at you while you grieve. He is doing everything he can to make you feel miserable. And he's enjoying every minute of it. And it's time that somebody called him out. So there it is. Blame the one who did it. And it ain't God. His name is Satan. And he is evil. And you should fear him to a point. Final passage and we're done. We've been through this in our study on Wednesday night in the book of Revelation. It's Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. There are more places we could go there, but this will work. Verse 17, John is writing. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am alive forever and ever." Excuse me. "Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last and the living one. I was dead. And see, I'm alive now forever and ever." This is Jesus. And Jesus looks at John straight in the eye. John falls down in front of him and is scared to death of the fact that that is Jesus himself that he sees. "Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last and the living one. I was dead and see, I am alive forever and ever. Listen to me. I have the keys of death and of Hades. I know who holds the key to death. I know who holds the key to hell. And it ain't Satan. And on that day when God says, I've had enough of watching my people die, I do not know when that day is, neither did Jesus. On that day, the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will rise. Those of us still alive on this earth that follow Jesus will join him in heaven. And in heaven, there will be a judgment. And he will separate the goats from the lamb, the left from the right. And then Jesus and his Father God will say to that group of people that did not follow in the footsteps of Jesus, I do not know who you are. And they're going to join somebody. His name is Satan. He is the devil. He is the evil one. And God is going to grab him by the throat and cram him to the lowest levels of hell itself. And then his son Jesus, with key in hand, is going to walk over to that door and slam it shut and lock the door. And death is done. I'm here to tell you, folks, this is a story of good and evil, and your kids and everyone you see needs to understand this. We are good because of Jesus. People who will not find him are bad, they are evil, and it is sad. It is wrong. It is not what God wants. But they are listening to a lie. Let me tell you what the lie is. God isn't being truthful. You go back and read Genesis. And what Satan told these two people was, you will not die. You will be like God. That's what he told them. Go read it. Go read what he said. What he said was, you're not going to die, Eve. You're not going to die, Adam. You'll be like God. AJ died this week. Christina died 18 years ago. Dorsey died, and I've lost track of the years. I can just work my way through. Lawrence's mama died, seems like just yesterday. I shouldn't keep going because I'm going to make you all depressed and discouraged and down. You know why they died? They died because somebody told a lie, and it wasn't God. God told the truth. God said, do what I ask and you're okay. But if you don't, I can't have anything to do with you. We'll be separated. You will die. We make this world way too complicated, my friends. It is my task, my job, and my responsibility to preach the truth. And the truth is, there are two things in this world. There's good and there's evil. And when somebody dies, it ain't good. You just ask the person grieving. Now, how can I be any more straightforward than that? You go ask a mama and daddy getting ready to put their child in the grave, is this a good thing? It isn't, is it? You beginning to see this real clearly? This is what it is. This is the lie of the evil one that plays itself out minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, year by year, and will continue when God says, until God says, that's it. And then it's done. And then heaven is ours. And I cannot wait for the reunion that I'm going to have with my baby and with everyone that I love. The lesson is yours. If it has unsettled you, I will not say I'm sorry. I came here today to preach the truth. And I believe from the bottom of my heart what you have is the truth. And as we bury another little child, somebody somewhere needs to stand up and say, this is evil, it ain't good, and God never intended for this to happen. And that, my friends, is the truth as we stand and sing.